Welcome to another edition of Friends in the Business with me, Jennifer English, brought to you by the 49ers Golf and Country Club and the fabulous Rincon Mountain Grill. Well, hello, everybody. I'm Jennifer English, and guess what? It's time for Friends in the Business. I'm going to introduce you to some of the most extraordinary people in Tucson who just happen to be my friends, and they just happen to be in business. Which business? Well, the business of being here in Tucson. This and every edition of Friends in the Business is proudly sponsored by 49er Golf and Country Club and the delicious Rincon Mountain Grill. As you wander around town and you talk to your friends who are members or non-members, because it is open to the public, and you hear about the fun and delicious things that Chef McKenzie and her team are doing out there, you'll want to join me for a happy hour, a visit, or a 19th hole occasion. So today is the first show of 2020. And what does that really mean? Well, it means that we're in a new decade, a new era, and a new era for Tucson. But one of the things I know is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And when you really want to know about how to do business and how to really get things done in Tucson, Arizona, you have to understand that Tucson is not like any other place on the planet. You can't just go to business school and get your MBA and then land in Tucson and say, I know how to do business, because you will quickly find out that there is more heart and soul behind every handshake and transaction than you can possibly imagine. When they say that it's not what you know, but who you know, oftentimes people will know that that means you have to have friends who have influence. But that's only part of the story here in Tucson, Arizona. It's not so much the influence that you need to know, it's the trust. This is a town that is more based on trust and relationships than almost any other place that I know. It's also built on generosity. We have more 501c3 charities and organizations that are local, statewide, and national that are headquartered here than almost any place else. So we have more philanthropy per capita than almost any place else in the country. And so what does that really mean? It means we're generous and we care about each other and we look after each other. And we're going to talk about what that means as we in Tucson experience this boom in building, this boom in business. People are coming here from all over the country and all over the world as we welcome and open headquarters for Caterpillar. And we look at organizations like Amazon that are building extraordinary 21st and 22nd century facilities right here in our midst. If we're not a solar city, then you don't know what solar city means. We're a city of gastronomy. We're a Delice Network city. We're a creative city. And all of that focuses attention on the fact that we have incredible young people being educated at the University of Arizona. And we have more of that healing restorative energy that comes from that peaceful desert vibe that we all know and love. And the light and the sunsets and the desert landscape and the fact that we don't have tornadoes and we don't have hurricanes and we don't have earthquakes and a lot of the other things that you get that are threatening in places around the world. I can paint a really vivid, compelling picture about why you want to come to Tucson. I can paint a picture of why people are coming to Tucson. But then when you get here and you figure out what you're going to do, I'm going to give you one of the best tips I can possibly share. And it's this. You need to learn the names of, become friends with, and authentically and genuinely care about the extraordinary women who here in the city of Tucson are making it happen. From the breakfast clubs, to the military, to the University of Arizona, we have a real platoon of fantastic females who really are at the heart and soul of getting things done. Right on cue, there's the U of A fight song. I love that. So we have a really great show today. Two of my all-time favorite women in Tucson are here, including my first guest. Legendary and pioneering broadcaster Martha Vazquez was one of the first women in the country who proved that there was a woman's place at the anchor desk in a major network-affiliated news organization. She has been much beloved in this community as she literally pioneered what it was to tell the stories of this community as it entered its phase of existence that we know today. She saw us go from towns where we literally had dirt roads and you would regularly see cowboys on horseback to being a fully digital internet age era organization and community. I'm so thrilled to welcome my friend, Martha Vasquez.
Thank you.
To Friends in the Business.
It is a pleasure to be here.
I'm also thrilled you're here because you're a native Tucsonan.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up here and you have been literally reporting by virtue of being a witness, an eyewitness to the history of this community your entire life. And in your training as a broadcast journalist, you really evolved what it was to tell the story of this place. But you did it not as someone who came from another market and just had the skills. You always had the heart and soul. How important is heart and soul to understanding this community?
Well, I think it's very important because when, as a reporter, when you're reporting about the issues that face your home, your family, your community, it's a whole different ball of wax than somebody who comes here and is trying to get just one couple more lines on their resume. It's about really caring. When I attended city council meetings or I attended board of supervisor meetings, the outcomes of those meetings meant something to me because they were going to affect my community and myself, my pocketbook. So it was important.
How do you describe Tucson for people who've never been here?
Tucson is, I think it is still very much in flavor, a small town, but geographically, it is not anymore. It's a big town, but we continue to keep that small town flavor whereby you know people. I mean, in big cities, people don't know each other. They just kind of walk alongside each other on the sidewalk on the way to work, and nobody knows anyone. Nobody knows their neighbors. But here, people take the time and form communities. And wherever you drive in Tucson, you'll see the San Clemente neighborhood and the Menlo Park neighborhood and the downtown historic Barrio Viejo. And those are all communities that have already linked, and they're linking with each other. So I think that's why Tucson is so unique, because people here don't just come and live. They come and share experiences and share their expertise more than anything else.
People are coming here and have, for let's say the last 25 years, we maybe had more than our fair share of retirees who mm-hmm. are looking for an affordable, easy to live in, really restorative, peaceful, happy place mm-hmm. to have a happy, active, outdoorsy kind of retirement.
But each of those people you're finding, or actually I'm finding, that a lot of those retirees that come here don't just come here to bask in the sun and make it affordable. They come here with specific skills and expertise to lend to the people that live here. So you'll find a lot of these retirees mentoring people who want to know more about business and more about mortgages or more about, anyway, they're helping out. They're tutoring in schools and helping young people learn to read better. I mean, they're really involved in the community.
And they've all got a side hustle, and some of those side hustles are for the benefit of the community.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of activity going on. This is a great place to have an active retirement, so to speak. But that was what the pathway to Tucson looked like over the last 25 years. Maybe a lot of our growth had more to do with that than it mm-hmm. did to do with economic opportunity. But there are several factors that have clicked into place to make this a very unique time and place, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that when I graduated from college back in 1976, the thinking was you had to leave Tucson to work, to get a profession, you know, to make money. But I think now more and more kids are being able to stay in Tucson and use what they learned at the University of Arizona, whether it be engineering or business or whatever it may be. And so that is the key, I think. When kids have to leave a town to get a job, that's not good for the city. But now I think Tucson is keeping a lot of its really smart and go-getters, and they're involved in Tucson business. So, I've seen Tucson change tremendously in the years, in the six decades that I've lived here.
But when I got here in 96,
mm-hmm.
so 20 years after you graduated, what I was told is Tucson is a great, wonderful, small town. And it's a wonderful place to live. And you are so lucky if you love it and want to live here. And you can live here. But if you want to make money and you want to make your mark in the world and you want to go and be really successful, you've got to find a way to do your work someplace else.
Exactly.
You either have to get on an airplane and go have a career someplace else or go into sales. Somehow it kept explaining to me, this community that I was being welcomed into, that you have to think of it as the place to live, not the place...
A retirement place.
To make your money.
Yeah. But don't you find that that's changed?
Well, what's interesting is about 3 years after I got here in 99 and I started the Food and Wine Radio Network, everybody outside of Tucson didn't understand why this national-reaching food organization was in Tucson. People didn't get Tucson yet. Mm-hmm. And everybody here said, oh, well, that'll be great, but you've got to go somewhere else. And it was that unique combination of time and place that allowed me to do something that actually could be a little bit successful. And it was like a glimpse into the future of what Tucson was going to be perceived as by the outside. Fast forward to 2016, another 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown is now
booming.
Crackling with
booming.
Energy and building and booming. Businesses are coming here.
It's amazing.
There's development. The crane factor. There's cranes all over the skyline where we never
had
them.
When did you ever see a crane in downtown Tucson? And now there's, I think, four of them up. And it's everywhere you drive. It's a gigantic new development. Or it's either homes or apartments or businesses or hotels. Or I think Tucson kind of stopped dead in its tracks at some point, probably after the recession in 2008, 2009, and sort of was stagnant. And now, with the help of that wonderful Rio Nuevo committee, they've really pushed things along and really made things happen for
downtown. And the one thing I'll say, that if you want to know what Tucson is and what it is to do business here, you can't point to any one person and say, mm-hmm. well, that's the one pivotal person.
Yeah.
It's not like one person, like a Michael Bloomberg, came and wrote a giant check and then everything else came from that. You and I could each, on our hands run out of fingers, naming the names of all the people that have had a role.
Mm-hmm.
Just in my consciousness in the food and wine world, I'll just go to people like Carlotta Flores, her son Ray Flores, their entire family, and the Flores restaurant family bringing restaurants downtown. Our friend, James Beard Award winner Janos Wilder, doing the things that he does, bringing people downtown. The good folks at the Fox Tucson Theater, Fletch. I mean, the entire East End around Hotel Congress. There are a lot of people who are responsible. Name some names.
Oh, my God. I mean, Mark Irvin, I really believe once he stepped onto that committee, he made all the difference in the world. It seemed like we were stuck in cement. And then things started happening with McCusker. And I think that when business people get in there and they can use their talents, that's when things start to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what happened.
So here we are at Business Radio X, the Tucson edition, with our good friend Martha Vasquez. She's my friend in the business. What's this business that we're talking about? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. We're going to open up our conversation because this edition and every edition of Tucson Business Radio X's Friends in the Business show is brought to you by our good friends at 49er Golf and Country Club and the delicious Rincon Mountain Grill. So, Martha,
Speaking of food.
So we're going to tie this. You're going to see in a second how I tie all this together, because we're not alone in the studio today.
Oh, no. We have a lady that's going to bring some fun stuff to the food.
Well, and you've known her a long time.
Yep.
So my other friend in the business is my good friend, Donna DeConcini. And in the time that I have known her, she's another Tucson native. She is beloved in the community. And she is one of those fantastic people who does what she does in a way that brings in both the business side and the philanthropy side, because in everything she does, she embodies the essence of doing business in Tucson, which is one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. There's something about, as I grow, everything grows, and I can give more when I make more, when I get more, when I do more. In her business role, well, she does some fantastic things, including taking the food trucks that are the most up-and-coming flavors in town. It's like the off-Broadway version of restaurant.
Love it.
Right?
Love
if you're
it.
A food truck and you're successful, you're going to make it to the Broadway version of Tucson as a food town, and you might end up in a brick and mortar. But she brings the food trucks downtown every Tuesday and Thursday for lunch. And it is the growth of those trucks and the lunch business that they do that showcase how many people are coming downtown. She also runs the most extraordinary craft and farmers markets in town, on the east side of town, on Mount Lemmon, in different places. And all of it's to benefit her, I would say, passion and her heart and soul, which is the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. How does it tie together? Well, the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank really helps to serve the pet parents and pet population of this community when times do get tough, like they did during the recession. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tie it back to you, Martha, as well, when, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, in your time on KVOA, on the NBC affiliate here, one of the most beloved features that you had, in addition to the one that we did together, mm-hmm. was the tail waggers.
Absolutely. That was on every Friday. Humane Society came on and brought a dog that they wanted to see adopted. Perhaps it was a dog that hadn't been adopted and was kind of hanging in there and not doing as well. But, you know, we had a great record going. Just about every dog that ever made it on the show was adopted. Phones were ringing once the show was over. So it was a wonderful thing. I actually adopted a dog from the tail wagger.
Oh, cool.
And he was with me for 14 years.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. No, and we need help for our animal friends, because a lot of times they're not remembered, they're not thought of, and so what Donna does is really super important.
So it's my pleasure to welcome officially to the show our friends in the business, my good friend Donna DeConcini. Welcome. Thank you for coming and being with us today.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you. And Martha, it's so great to be able to see you.
Thank you. Great to see you too.
I think you were probably one of the impetus of me getting involved with animals is on that tail wagger program.
Yep.
We had so many people that were adopting dogs or wanting to adopt dogs, and I would read your comments, and they would say, but I don't have enough money to feed them, or I don't have enough money to
immunizations for the vet bills.
Uh-huh. And I think that's what got me started, of being mm-hmm. able to get going with Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank, not only to be able to feed the dogs, but to be able to raise money so that we could do that, so that you could adopt on the tail waggers, that people would feel better about being able to adopt their animals and stuff. So my hat's off to you, and a very good thank you.
And my hat's off to you for pulling it off.
Look at this, Jennifer, you've got two native Tucsonians here.
By design.
And, you know, we just, you know, I went to the villa and graduated 76, the same year mm-hmm. as you did from the U of A. Mm-hmm. And there was a comment that you made about the retirees, that mm-hmm. we shouldn't call them retirees. We should call them king and queen of volunteering. Because I have so many people, especially in the Green Valley and Sarita area, that are volunteering. They want something to do. They want to belong to the community. They want to help us out. They bring that expertise within marketing and finances and to be able to share, but not in order to make a living for themselves, but to be able to give back to the community. So you're right on with that.
And they've got so much energy. I mean, they've got, you know, they want to do something. You can only play golf and pickleball so much. And they want
I don't know. This pickleball, you know, I could never keep up with that. And cornhole,
I have met some pickleballers that would make you crazy. They play 6-7 hours a day.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And
Active
the cornhole
is their middle name.
That's funny. So let's get back to what Tucson is. Donna, I floated the question to Martha when we first started the conversation today, and you've had a couple minutes to think about this idea. For somebody who's not from Tucson, as another native, as somebody who's not only been here your whole life, but, you know, you're pretty plugged in. What is Tucson? How can you help us understand Tucson in a way that is more than a Convention and Visitors Bureau brochure? What's the real heart and soul of Tucson?
It is, obviously it's going to be the people. There is still a small community of our forefathers. There's still a community of people that helped build the Hockamies and the Petersons, and, you know, that helped build Tucson to be what it is today, especially economically. But I don't walk down the street without saying hi to one or two people. I don't go into a shopping center with somebody saying, I know you. We went to grade school together, or we went to high school together. So I think it is still the community. We are a small town mentality mm-hmm. with a big heart. And that heart reaches out to other people as we expand the hotels that are being turned into living quarters for the homeless. The, you know, Fourth Avenue, you're talking about cranes, but Fourth Avenue's even got a crane on.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. all the old watering holes are being turned into upgrade restaurants and hotels. But these are generations of family people, generations of people that have been here that are starting to do business. I'm finding that there's a lot of old bloods that has still community mm-hmm. spirit and is spreading it out. Plus the new money that's coming in from, you know, other corporations, which is great.
One of the things that I have observed in my time here is that you don't compartmentalize your life in Tucson. You don't say, I do my business over here, I socialize over here, I go to church. Everything you do in Tucson is in one big bowl. It's all in one presence. It's in one way we live. You live and you go to school with, and your kids go to school with, the same people you work with, the same people you socialize with, the same people you play pickleball with or you play golf with. There is something intrinsic about the fact that there's a real holistic way of living here in Tucson. Would you each address that? Because you can't do one thing exclusively here. You kind of have to, you got to be all in a way.
Well, you have got Dr. Wild, who's come here and made this his home. There is an energy here in Tucson that is incredible. There's a forgiveness that the desert gives you in the sunset. When we talk about how beautiful this area is and that you come and you're not even aware of what the smells are from the desert. There's an energy and an aspiration that just pulls people in. I feel that you just need to, you can't avoid it. It calls people. And once you come to visit, you're hooked. You're right back, from the old-fashioned, the cowboys, to, you know, the modern-day cranes that we're talking about.
I've often wondered if the reason I think it's so beautiful here is because I was born here. But then I meet people who have been here for 5 years and lived in Del Mar, California, or Boston, Massachusetts, beautiful places themselves, but they think it's beautiful here and magical. So I think that it is a combination of the terrain. It is a combination of the weather. I mean, like yesterday was the most beautiful temperature yep. day I can remember.
Yesterday right. was a perfect day.
It was perfect with a capital P. It's the people that live here, because everybody just, you know, rarely will you be in a group of people where they're all natives. It'll be somebody from the East Coast, the West Coast, Midwest. So it's the people, the terrain, the climate, and maybe the caring that everybody has for each other, the smiles. And I just think that people here, I remember when I was on the news desk, and we would put out the call for a homeless people, and their wheelchair was stolen and they need a new wheelchair. Within minutes, there would be 25 people responding to give money. When things happen here, people are so generous in Tucson, not only with their money, but with their time.
Yep.
And so I think that really is the essence of Tucson. We all have come together like a well-marinated sauce.
We don't let any nasty people come and live here.
There are a few.
they don't last long, though.
No, really. I mean, it's like doing the Tucson Food Truck Rally. We started that with Ford to raise money for the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. And we get somebody in there that just doesn't mesh within the family, and they're no longer a short time.
We don't drive them out. They just realize this isn't for me.
Well, yes, kind of. it's a family group, you know, from when, you know, the newscasting and from radio and from food trucks and for the animals, they're families. They all support each other. They all help each other out. And I think that people that come here not knowing what's happening, they get that. They get that shot in the arm of niceness.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask each of you for a piece of advice to people who are in business now at this present moment in Tucson, Arizona, and for people who are listening who are contemplating opening a business in Tucson, either as Tucsonans or coming from somewhere else to do business here. What would you say is the most important thing about doing business in Tucson?
I just closed my business. I opened in May of 2016 and closed in July of 2019. And the obvious reason is because I wasn't making enough money. I was a first-time business person. I'd never had a business in my life. I did get the help of a business advisor, an attorney, my financial consultant. I mean, I had good people around me, but really, I didn't have any experience. So if we're talking purely business, keep your overhead low. That would be my advice to somebody who's thinking about a business. You know, we're so, I was overwhelmed and maybe too preoccupied with the aesthetics of the business and spent too much money on that in terms of what I got in return. So I think that you have to start small. I really believe you start small, you advertise, you make sure that people know that you're there, because how can people patronize your business if they don't know you exist? And keep your overhead low.
Well, I also think that Tucson, especially Tucson, mm-hmm. and other places that I've been in, has the resources between the law school, between the senior centers that they have, the U of A, the farming community. There are resources to be tapped into for anybody that wants to be able to start a new business. I know that we walk people through that are mom and pops and want to make some extra money or want to make money to buy, you know, do gas. And they come to our art shows and we walk them through of this is what you need. This is what you are. This is what we need to do. And like you said, Martha, you start slow and then build it. Once you get that foundation in, but there's a ton of people and resources here of those people that come, the snowbirds, you know, they are a plethora of information that want to help everybody out. You need to tap into that.
We're getting ready to take a quick break and remind you that you're listening to Friends in the Business on the Tucson Business Radio X, sponsored by our good friends at the 49er Golf and Country Club, where you can attend the Rincon Mountain Grill. It is delicious, and their happy hour is one of the best in town. And if you live on the east side of town and you don't know that they're open to the public, well, this will be a delight. If you want to get a real feel for what Tucson used to feel like and the ambiance, what I call old Tucson, not old Tucson studios, but if you really want to know what that quintessential Tucson feeling is, go out and visit the 49er Golf and Country Club. It really is almost like time has stopped still to just welcome you into that classic Tucson sunrise or sunset if you're a golfer. And we're going to continue in just a minute with my really good friends in the business, Martha Vasquez and Donna DeConcini. I'm Jennifer English. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Donna DeConcini, and you're listening to Friends in the Business with Jennifer English.
Well, I hope you're enjoying this episode. And of course, we're very grateful and very proud to have as our sponsor the 49ers Golf and Country Club, a icon tradition here in wonderful Tucson, Arizona. And my particular guest today from the 49ers is the Director of Membership and Tournaments. And his name is Casey Polivchak. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Mark. How's it going today?
It's going well. Thank you very much. I want to talk about memberships. A lot of talk about golf clubs going down and people not playing again, and we're increasing. What's happening there?
You know, the club over the last 7 years has just really made a nice big increase in membership. It's been steady, but if you look at our numbers, you know, year over year, we're definitely on the climb.
Is there anything specific that you can point the finger at for that, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've got a new owner, and he came in and he's just revitalized the club. The club was on the verge of going bankrupt or closing when the new owner stepped in, and he's just continued to invest in the club, the facilities, the golf course, the restaurant, and he's just a bit of a blessing for the neighborhood, the community, but definitely the members of 49er Country Club.
Well, it's quite unique. It's a beautiful course with trees everywhere for shade. And of course, a lot of people think in the desert. I mean, this particular show goes all over the place, so you never know who's going to hear it, or which country for that matter. But should they be visiting Arizona and have heard a lot about the 49ers Golf and Country Club, it's easy to find. It's on Tankerville Road heading east out of town. Anybody can point that way. Your GPS can get it, not a problem. It's about 12,000, and you can see it because of the entry gates. Very nice. Entry gates there, and you'll see the club on your left, which is the Rincon Mountain Grill, as you go into the actual golf club, and then you'll find the pro shop and so on, so it's easy to find from that point of view. What would you say to visitors? We do have a lot of visitors, don't we, from the Midwest, from the North, the colder climates and so on, as we call friendly our snowbirds. Mm-hmm. Yep. What would you say to them about if they haven't been to the 49ers yet?
Okay, so 49er, I would liken it to a Midwestern-style golf course because of the tree-lined fairways. When we get our snowbirds in, if they're coming out for a golf trip, a lot of times I recommend they come play 49er if it's a warm-up round, if they haven't played for, a couple months because of the snow on the ground. The thing about it is it's tucked into the corner of the mountains out there. That's what Rincon means.
All right.
In the corner. But the golf course is, it is. It's more traditional tree-lined fairways, elevated tees, elevated greens. It's a great golf course to play. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to, have a bunch of huge forced carryovers, desert and cactus and... Mm-hmm. It's
not what one thinks.
No, it's not.
For the desert, yeah.
You got to keep it straight. It'll challenge you that way.
You got to keep it straight. And, of course, if if it talks your cork at the moment, simply go to the 49ers website, which is?
49ercc.com. That's spelled out FORTYNIERCC.com.
There you go. Okay, so do that. There's some lovely photographs, great stories to look at, and it'll give you everything about the club. You can't fail. All right? We're going to be back with Casey another time.
Friends in the Business with me, Jennifer English. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Friends in the Business. I'm Jennifer English, and my good friends Donna DeConcini from the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank and the food truck rallies. Maybe you know her best by being one of those passionate people who runs the markets, the art markets and farmers markets at Bear Canyon and out at Broadway Houghton. Maybe you've realized that she knows some of the best and most delicious people in town, including the barbecue for you. She's developed a loyal following, but that's partially because she makes it happen. She's a native Tucsonan, and in all of her time in this beautiful community, she has helped us all to learn what she loves about this place. Loving where you live is a thing now, and people from all over the world are learning why we love where we live. And I welcome back my friend Donna DeConcini and my other good friend Martha Vasquez, a longtime beloved legendary broadcaster and business owner here in this community. They are my friends in the Tucson business here on Tucson Business Radio X. Ladies, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So when we talk about how to do business in town and how Tucson is growing, as native Tucsonans, I'm going to ask you to put your crystal ball reading glasses on and tell me, where do you think opportunity exists in the modern Tucson of this moment? And if you were going to advise somebody or ask somebody who's in a business to come here, where do you see an opportunity? Where do you see a gap in the marketplace or a potential for something that doesn't yet quite exist or could exist?
I think the service industry that with the baby boomers that we have here, I think that people taking care of people assisting grandparents or parents that are elderly, I think that service industry is has room for growth that's able to be there. I think also that anything that you do that is giving back within the community, the food industry. There's still room for much growth in the food industry for different types of food to be able to come in and to be very successful, whether it be in a food truck or whether it be in a brick and mortar. I think that there's still room, even though we are 25 miles of the best food and are written up that way, but it is, I think that there's still room for people to come in and share their expertise within the food industry. But to me, in a service industry, being able to help other people, I think that's a great niche right now still, and still growing.
When you say food, you think to yourself, really, do we need more restaurants? If you look at downtown Tucson, they get a new restaurant, it seems like, weekly. But yes, I think you're right about that. I think that we need more diversity in food. You know, there's obviously a lot of Mexican restaurants.
Well, the 23 exactly. Most delicious miles of Mexican food in the country.
Steakhouses, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think there are a lot of the little places like, is it called Destra? Mm-hmm. The Ethiopian restaurant?
Cafe Desta, yeah.
Yes, Cafe Desta. I mean, I was surprised to see that pop up at Five Points. And so I think that, you know, Tucson, people who live here, a lot of them who are transplants to here, have developed pretty sophisticated palates, and they're ready to try things that are outside of, you know, what we've been used to. But there's no question that we have the best Mexican food in the world, and God knows there's absolutely, it's amazing.
Does Tucson taste different to either? Since you both mentioned food, I don't mean to cut you off before you tell me about where there's business opportunity, but does Tucson taste different than the Tucson you grew up in? Does it taste different today?
I think it does. I think it does. I think that, and I was talking to a friend about this the other day. We used to have restaurants where you'd have a big long table and you'd order things, and it would be like a Sunday dinner, family style, where you would pass the bowl from person to person. Which everybody would take what they wanted to and put it back in. That's non-existing here anymore.
Do you miss that?
I do. In fact, we were talking about that. We were talking about old style family dining. I mean, Caruso's is there, and they've been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bless those guys. But
and the Elefante still have Mama Luisa's.
Mama Luisa's and El Charo.
And El Charo.
Right. You know, but I think that everybody is trying to outdo themselves with toothpicks and little flowers and, you know, foo-foo kinds of stuff. When we were growing up, it was that family style, down to earth, good meal, stick to the bones. And then you took your nap between 2 and 4 o'clock, and then or 5 o'clock, and then you got up and you opened up your business. You opened up your store again. But
that sounds like Mexico. That's exactly the way it's done in Mexico.
That was right downtown, Fox Theater, Hockamy, right downtown with, everybody would close up.
My dad had a store at 16 South Meyer. It was a jewelry store, and I use quotation marks. It was a pawn shop. And he basically would open it at 10 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock, it would shut down. He would come home and have a meal, take a nap. Right around 4 o'clock, return back to work and work till 8, 9 o'clock at night. And that was that is the way things are done, the siesta, as it's called. But, you know, business isn't done that way anymore. Unfortunately, it's just not the way we're wired. I mean, we want 24/7 going on. So, you know, I don't know how practical that is, but yes, I remember that time as well. No two ways about it.
Is there something essential about the kind of business your dad had that you could imagine in a 21st century way, in a 24-hour-a-day way? You know, because you say that, I'm like, oh, and I have this wistful sort of imagination of wandering down Meyer Street.
You know what he helped people more than he sold. Yeah. He never made any money. We never had a new car. We never had our own home. We rented because Dad helped people. So let's say that somebody came into the store and said, oh, you know, we're not going to make the rent, but I have these rings. Would you give me some money for them? And I'll pay the rent. When I get some extra money, I'll bring. So that went on a lot. He had a pair of false teeth in the store. When he passed away, you know, we went in to look at his stuff. He had a pair of false teeth in there. And I thought to myself, what is this? Apparently, he even sold false teeth. I mean, you know, they're made individually for each person, but people would pawn their false teeth and he would give them money for it and they'd never come back. So he did business.
Because they couldn't eat their food and they starved.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, poor thing.
He did business with friends, friends.
Yeah.
And so that's not the way that business is done in the 21st century.
No,
but is
absolutely
it the way,
not.
Right. But is it the way that business is still done in Tucson? Do you still see some business being done that way?
I suspect that there are business people that do that, that have those small family businesses that can do that. But I would say that's probably 10 to 15% of the entire business world in Tucson. You can't really do business that way and you won't survive.
No bartering chicken and eggs
No.
I mean, that's...
But everybody knows somebody from a breakfast club, or you know
sure.
somebody's a lawyer, you know somebody's an accountant, you know somebody's a realtor, and that is how the relationships...
That's awesome.
That's still how...
I didn't really know that operated that way until I opened my own business. I started going to these business clubs and meeting people and getting their cards, and they were getting my cards, and I thought, wow.
The networking, absolutely.
This is the way to do business.
Absolutely.
And it really does work.
And I mean, no money exchange, just, you come fix my roof and I'll clean your house, or I'll do the mechanics on your car.
Yeah.
And those breakfast clubs are great for that. And
absolutely.
So that bartering system, that networking system is starting to get bigger here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because we've been going to them, and fabulous,
What I hear you both saying is that Tucson is still a relationship town.
Without a doubt.
No question asked. Yes, absolutely.
I think business,
but it's not who you know. It's... Let's be friends. It's not, before it used to be who you know would get you to whatever you wanted to do. It's not that anymore. It's not the good old boy the good old boy thing. Networking.
It's the women's breakfast clubs more than
Well, the thing of it is,
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not,
I think if I get the name of a plumber and he does a super job for me, I'm going to refer him to everybody I know that needs a plumber, or that doesn't even need a plumber but may need one in the future. So I think it's about the quality of business. If you're doing a quality business, you're going to get referrals. If you're not doing a quality business, you're not going to get them.
The other thing I want to sort of weave into this ask of a question that I'm posing to you both with regard to, is it still that way? You said it's not who you know anymore, addressing that sort of old boy network style. But it does matter how you know them and how
they know you.
And I don't think I know of a place where how I know you and how you know me matters more. It's living and conducting your business with character and being honorable. And if you make a mistake, saying, I said I'd have that delivered on Wednesday, but I couldn't do it. This is the kind of town where you'll be forgiven if you say, I didn't get it on Wednesday, but I got it on Thursday, and I let you know in advance. People of character that do business with that kind of honest and forthright integrity and character are rewarded in this town.
Absolutely.
Because this is a place where character still matters and where you really have to be a person of your
word.
Intention, but more than your word, your intention. This is a town that is really intention-based. And when we talk about the fact that it's part of tying it into that energy that connects us all, the energy of this place is what allows those two incredible spas that are known the world over, Canyon Ranch and Miraval, for that healing, restorative energy. We're all in this together is where this comes back to. And it's very much how we rely on each other. So it's not just that I trust you, Donna, and that you trust me, but I know that deep down, if I choose to do business here, I'm going to rely on this community and it's going to rely on me. And that's what ends up happening when we talk about these people. And I had a business that was I had a wonderful time doing it, and I thought that we did a really good job for people with our spice business. And as with all things, we don't have that same business anymore. It's evolved and it changed, and we lost the shopping center that we were in because it became a big shopping center, and progress happened and change happened. But the relationships survive. And selling the spices today in the farmers markets to the same people who used to come when we did have brick and mortar are based on that relationship. It just turns out that that's much more important than you could ever imagine in a town like this. Was that always the case?
Yes, I think it always was. If you have a good product, product is number one. If you have a service or a product that is good and is needed, and it is being backed up by someone with integrity.
Right. And reliability and absolutely. Professionalism.
It's bound to be successful.
I want to ask both of you, what advice do you have for the Caterpillars and the Amazons of the world that are coming to Tucson to make them a headquarters, to make them a satellite operation, and for all the men and women that they're bringing to our community along with those operations? What advice do you have, Martha?
I have no question that both those corporations, the monsters that they are, have come in and really done their homework in terms of Tucson. Housing and education and shopping and all the things that are in education, probably number one for all the families with children. So my advice to them would be, Caterpillar, get involved in Tucson.
Great.
Amazon, get involved in Tucson, because when you become involved in Tucson, Tucson becomes involved with you, and it becomes a partnership. If you come and just set up a brick and mortar and just conduct business the way you do in Kansas City, I don't think it's going to be the same. But if you invest in Tucson schools, especially like, you know, maybe Caterpillar could have some kind of work studies with young people who are into that, or Amazon, if they could invest in education, if they could invest in child care for employees, I think that it would absolutely propel them so much further into the community and make it just a household name.
Not only for their business to exceed and to excel here in Tucson, but also for the employees to feel more at ease at being here, to be uprooted mm-hmm. from another place and being put here. TEP is a great example of that. They have an outreach of that they do things for the community. They are always there helping out. When I get a load full of dog food, TEP, you know, Wendy Warren would come and they'll bag it all up and put it into Ziploc bags for me. And then I take that and pass it out to the senior centers or to El Rio or La Frontera, wherever it's going to. But that's the kind of community outreach and community giving back. When we were talking about the business, you know, when we're talking about business and communities, that one thing that you did and one thing that I know that I tried to do and I am doing is that giving back to the community. And people notice that, like the clicks, you know, just to be able to be a part of the community. It's not going in, punching your time clock. It's the organizations, the human resources, those people that need to be able to direct. But we need to be able to find areas for them to be able to help us out. And that's a major part of what Tucson needs to do, is to be able to go to these corporations and say, this is where I need help. It's not just United Way. It's not just, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs.
Sure. It's like, there's a few that always get the help because they're just big and they're wonderful. Right. But there are so many little guys that could use the help as well, but they may not know about it. So it's up to Caterpillar and Amazon to get into the Tucson community, find out what those are, to have that outreach and make it known.
Now, before we run out of time, you got to both indulge me a little bit, because I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for Martha Vasquez. When I was recovering from kidney cancer and I dreamed the dream of what does the next part of my life look like, I could never have imagined that I would be so privileged as to have been invited by Martha to create a little opportunity on the new 4 o'clock news on Channel 4 to inspire people to cook for their families. I couldn't have imagined that it would allow my little fledgling business that I had taken over out of bankruptcy to have a chance to go and share the thing that I was passionate about. And we grew this little idea into something remarkable. And I just have this far away from that time and place. I think it was 2007, 2008 mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. that started, almost a full decade ago. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I have to thank you for...
You helped us as much as we helped you.
Yes.
You it taught is... me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a different animal. Television is a different animal.
Right.
It's, you know, people don't... It looks easy, but it's really... It takes a lot of... Wow. And nobody starts off knowing it. It's something that you learn every day. And with each mistake, you realize I'm not going to make that one again. So when we put together that show, I wanted it to be something, I wanted an Oprah-like show, if you will, where people from the community could come in and talk about what they knew. Jennifer talked about food. Quincy talked about technology. Jody Comstock talked about dermatology, specifically cosmetic. So did Gwen Maxwell. We had physicians come in and talk about...
Lori?
Lori Maxteller to talk about illnesses that were specific or important to women. We tried to gauge this to women. And so we started with a handful, and inevitably we had probably 15 contributors, as we call them. And it was about getting them in, getting their topics scheduled and video. I mean, it was my producer, Faye Dehoff, who now lives in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and is retired. She absolutely, she was the working, the backbone of the organization. But the bottom line is that you brought to Tucson, Jennifer, a lot of knowledge about food and preparation and how to present food.
You know, and she's still doing it.
Yeah, it's not about just throwing it on a plate and give it. It's about presentation. So
eating with your eyes.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that people loved it because they would tune in. They would call and say, when is Jennifer English going to be on again? So I used to have them on haphazardly. Well, then I started doing specific days. Okay, she's going to be on every other Wednesday. And that way people could tune in. And it's the same about with Jody Comstock. Yep. People want to know when she was going to be on. So bottom line is that it was you helped the community tremendously. You helped KVOA tremendously, and we helped you.
We are now recognized by UNESCO as a city of gastronomy. One of the things I recognized when I got here in 96 was this was not like any place else on the planet. I think Tucson is the most beautiful place and the most delicious place on the planet. And you gave me the opportunity to take the food and flavors and the time and the season of this place mm-hmm. and share it with people in a way that I hoped inspired them mm-hmm. to want to cook
and
for
their
families.
Brought your New England flair.
That's
which,
true.
So which you sort of added to Tucson, right. Which was good. You know, isn't it wonderful? I mean, all these fusions of food.
It's our melting pot.
Yeah.
It is a melting pot.
And I'm going to segue that the melting pot is this region, and this region is the Sonoran region.
Absolutely.
And forever, when we go back to the city of gastronomy's roots 4,000 years ago, 4,000 years of food cultivation, 4,000 years of food preparation. And you couldn't have cultivated food without it being food sharing. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have cultivated that and cooked and shared without it developing the culture around it. 4,000 years, there was no border 4,000 years ago.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The Ana'atam were farming at the foot of a mountain, growing corn and squash and very few plants because that's all the seeds they had. When Father Kino came to the area in 1492, he brought with him cattle. He brought with him horses. He brought with him flour.
Flour, yeah.
That's the beauty. Yep. I mean, now when you go to a Mexican restaurant, when the waiter says to you, would you like corn or flour tortillas? You can thank Father Kino for that because he brought wheat to the area so that we could have the choice.
And so what do we say? What's the answer to that?
Muchas gracias.
So when you go out to eat, where do you go and what do you like to have?
Oh, well, of course I go to my cousin's restaurant, Carlota Flores's El Charro, and all of them, actually. I love them all.
How do you like the new Charro Vida?
I love it. It's delicious. And they serve some of the beef from Charro Beef, and I love that beef. I also love Kingfisher. They have wonderful seafood, and I love it. I found a new little restaurant in Northwest Tucson that serves Mexican food, New Mexico style.
What?
It's called Goitas.
I've heard about third person to
Lambert Lane and La Cañada.
Goitas.
Delicious.
Okay. Donna DeConcini, same question. Where do you go and what do you order? Are you a corn or flour tortilla?
I'm a corn person.
Good for
and
you.
Guaritas is a wonderful place.
Isn't it
place.
Yummy? It's very
so,
spicy. Beware,
so
it's spicy.
Good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I follow the food trucks when they get brick and mortars. You know, I keep up with them. You know, I keep up with going the Twisted Tandoor. Rupa has opened up a restaurant down by the airport with barbecue. And that's a wonderful combination of being able there.
And I know you've got some events coming up, and we want to tell everybody about them.
Yep. We are so honored that, like we're talking about food and establishments and eating, but the breweries in Tucson have really blossomed, and that there's some really creative people. Iron John's Brewery on 18th Street has asked Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank to be the benefit for an event on February 8th and 9th, which is Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. And we have 75 vendors. They're releasing a new brewery, a new beer. Mm-hmm. And we have food trucks and but people that bring in bags of food to the brewery at Iron John's is going to be able to
Pet food.
Dog, cat.
Right.
Don't bring your own French fries.
No.
Although dogs would like French fries.
Oh, they do. Bad for them. To bring animal foods or any items that are slightly used to be able to help us.
For pets.
For our nonprofit.
And tell everybody for more information about Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank where they can go.
Well, we are at Broadway Houghton. We are at, on Saturdays, we are at Bear Canyon. We're at Mount Lemmon. We're at Sorita Plaza. We will be opening up a new market downtown. Any of the markets that we have are for crafters, all homemade, and also for farmers. And
Donna,
you can bring anything
down. If somebody wants to volunteer, how do they do that?
Well, they would go to Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank on Facebook, or they could go to Tucson Food Truck Rally on Facebook to our website, or they can go to Broadway Houghton. Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank is the right.
Is that a .com or is there a website for that?
It's a .com.
Oh, okay, yep. Perfect.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, and so I have to ask you, with these little places that we're discovering, what is the one most essential thing that someone who's going to be visiting, because we're getting ready to kick off Gem Show.
Oh, yep.
We're going to have the golf tournament, thanks to the
rodeo.
Tucson Conquistadors,
yep.
The rodeo. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. What are the two or three things that you don't want someone to miss in the next 6 to 8 weeks that are called the season, when everything seems to be happening at once here in Tucson? What is essential for people to know?
There's a new restaurant. Well, it used to be where Club 21 was on, what is that, Oracle or Miracle Mile? And it's now called El Chinito Gordo.
Good. Yep.
Oh, the food is delicious. I just tried it for the first time the other day, and I loved it.
And what should I get?
Oh, my God. I got a salad that had a bunch of ancient grains in it. Quinoa, avocado, mandarin oranges.
Yum.
It was delicious.
Wow.
Yeah, and my girlfriend's got a lot of other stuff that was really good.
And Donna, same question to you. What's the one most essential thing not to miss?
There's so many. I'm thinking, you know, not just in food wise, but the mission, you know, to going out to the mission and the fry bread that's out there.
It doesn't have to be food. It can be anything. What is the one thing coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks? If someone was coming to Tucson for the first time, what you just don't want to miss?
I agree with Donna. San Javier Mission.
The San Javier Mission. Going up to getting chili dogs at Pat's and going up to A Mountain and watch the lights of Tucson come on. Mm-hmm. For me, I take all my Chinese students there.
Walk
Tumamoc, yep.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, are you a Tucson sunrise or sunset person, Martha?
Sunset.
I had sunset also.
See, I'm a sunrise person. I think the sunrises are so beautiful.
Well, the sunsets are pretty darn cool too. With a nice little glass of wine. Oh, boy.
Oh, the end of Speedway, you know, at the west side of Speedway,
yeah.
You know, just to be able to watch that
Gates
sunset.
Pass
Gates
is nice
Pass,
too,
yeah.
Listen, Donna DeConcini from the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Martha, it's
great to
see
you.
Yeah.
Martha Vasquez, my dear friend, my mentor, and really my sister friend who I hope we'll come and tell more stories as Tucson to evolve. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Is there anything you want to tell people about that you're going to be working on?
No. I'm actually...
She's going to be volunteering with this, you know what? The Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank.
I'm thinking I'm going to volunteer for the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank because that sounds like something right up my alley.
It does. Listen, I just want to thank you both and thank everyone for listening. If you want more information about what's going on in Tucson, I'm actually going to turn you to Vamos a Tucson. You know, the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau under the aegis and direction of the remarkably generous and talented and brilliant Felipe Garcia is doing a lot to help people come to find and discover Tucson. And when you get here, I want to thank you all for paying attention to the fact that this really isn't like any other place on the planet. We're getting ready to go into season. We're going to have the rodeo, the gem show. We're going to have the golf tournament. The PGA Tour pros are coming to town. And then we'll have the Tucson Festival of Books. We're a book lover town. Literally, the phrase cozy fan tutti could have been coined about Tucson, Arizona, because there really is something for everybody. But it's not for everybody. It's for people who have the heart that can see the beauty and the love and the really remarkable, gentle, healing, restorative, exciting, delicious reality that Tucson, Arizona is. And for that, I am very privileged to have this moment to share it with you on Tucson Business Radio X. We'll see you next week.
Thanks to the 49ers and the Ringkong Grill. We trust you enjoyed Friends in the Business with Jennifer English.